Star 1310, and we welcome our guest, William McDowell. William, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Doing great. It has been a great ride for you, haven't it, William?
You know, I tell everyone I feel like a bystander to what the Lord's been doing. I know that I'm not the one driving and I'm not the one making it go. I'm literally, he chose me and I'm just along for the ride, I guess you should say.
Isn't it interesting, William, how you've been out there for a while and all of a sudden it happens for you? You know, as if you were an overnight success, but you've been doing it for a while.
Yes, sir. But you know what the Lord made very clear to me in the very beginning? He said, when you speak what I'm speaking, I'll make a way for my message. And that's exactly what he is doing literally all around the world. But you're right. To watch all of this unfold is pretty amazing. But the truth is, you know, the ministry of worship is a ministry to the heart of the Father first. And so it begins long before anyone ever knows who you are. And sometimes people may never know who you are. And that doesn't really matter when you're in it for his glory.
How did a song like I Give Myself Away take off, become so big? It's like a simple song. And when I'm saying simple, I'm not just meaning
simple.
No,
it is simple.
You know? I mean, it's a song that everybody can relate to, everybody can get into. William, the way you do it, I've never heard anybody do it that way. And, man, it is great. Tell us about that song.
You know, I think the Lord is using that song to... And the reason I say I think is because he's clearly doing something by his sovereign will around this world that I can't even explain. I can't tell you why it does what it does, or I can't tell you why it means what it means to people in different meanings in different places. And I know that sounds so naive and so elementary, but the truth is I really can't. The only thing I can really say is that I believe that the Lord is sovereignly setting up the body of Christ to position himself for surrender so that he can use that generation to accomplish his will in the earth. And it came from, you know, a simple cry from my heart during a season of seeking him for the more. And what I mean the more is that, you know, worship has a response, but it also has a result. And the result of worship is change. The result of worship is that our hearts change, our posture changes, our mind changes, our speech changes. And so I had become a little weary of us always exalting the response to worship. So we were calling great moves of God because people were lifting their hands or crying or coming to the altar, and all those things are good, but they're not good if you do that, but then you go back to your seat or you go back to your home and you're unchanged. And so I began to see, you know, we were announcing these things. When I say we, I'm not saying me personally only, more than just kind of observation in the body of Christ, noticing that people are you know, going back to their homes, going back to their seats and unchanged. But the truth is, biblically, that's impossible to have an encounter with God and leave the same way. And so I begin to seek God for more, and what came out of that as the Lord began to reveal his heart, you know, really, just like with Isaiah, when God says to him in chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 6, who will go for us, whom shall we send? There's only one logical response to that moment: here am I, send me. And it's the same thing. When we pursue the heart of God in worship and we enter into his presence, the amazing thing that happens is there's only one response when he begins to reveal to you what's on his heart, and that what he's inviting you to do is, here I am, you know, I surrender, you know, and for another time I give myself away so that you can use me to do whatever you want.
William, let me ask you this. How does one break down denominational barriers, cross racial lines, if you want to say, and because you've been doing a multicultural setting for a while, and you can do it. How does one do that?
Well, I can say that one doesn't do it. Only the Lord can do it.
Okay.
But I will say with a certain intentionality, there are many styles but there's only one sound in the kingdom. And so whenever you are speaking what he's speaking, and he's riding upon what, and we're riding what he's saying, and he rides on that, he moves in the hearts of people. He does things in the hearts of people that transcend, you know, socioeconomic lines, that transcends racial barriers, that transcends cultural barriers, because ultimately, all of us are spirit beings. So regardless of whether we grew up rich or poor, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, whatever, at the end of the day, those of us who walk in the Spirit, those of us who worship in the Spirit, there's only one sound, and that one sound, that kingdom sound, draws everyone. And so I think it's not necessarily about, you know, how we stylistically do it, or if we do riffs and don't do riffs, if we do chords or don't do chords, or the keyboards or guitar, none of that stuff. I mean, those are all stylistic preferences by which people connect to God in their own musical way. But the truth is, ultimately, none of us can do it. The only thing that we can make sure that we stay in tune with is that we are releasing the kingdom sound, and the kingdom sound knows no boundaries.
Ron Canole, how has Dr. Ron Canole changed William McDowell's life?